claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, and love those Beatles. I have a sensational guest today, Jack Mullen, and we're going to talk about a whole host of issues. I want to begin by saying a few words. In addition, and Jack, we have a second guest joining us. You can mention, introduce our addition here. Let me just bring us right out to the latest on what's going on in Texas. Horrifying conspiracy theories are swirling around the Texas shooting. And what do we hear? What are the horrifying theories? By now, it's predictable as the calls for thoughts and prayers of mass shooting, leaving many dead, and wild conspiracy theories and misinformation follow. Happened after Sandy Hook, happened after Buffalo, happened after Orlando, happened after, all of those were fake events that I've documented. I have books on Sandy Hook, Parkland, Orlando. I've done a blockbuster with Brian Davis, just dissecting the Buffalo shooting piece by piece. You can find him on my blog at James Fetzer, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Meanwhile, according to this source, these conspiracy theories serve two purposes. They avoid real conversation about the issue of gun violence and give those who don't want to face reality a patsy someone to blame, said the director of research at the Disinfo Defense League, a nonprofit that wants to fight racist misinformation. Unbelievable. In hours after Post falsely claiming a gunman was living in the country illegally went viral, others adding that he was on the run from the border, illegal alien wanted in El Salvador. Turns out he was a U.S. citizen. Others seized on images of innocent internet users to falsely identify them and to claim he was transgender. I've seen photographs of what's supposed to be this guy wearing a dress. One post on Twitter featured a trans woman holding a green bottle looking into the camera. Breaking news, the identity of the shooter has been revealed. He was a femboy. None of that was true. This was supposed to be a 22-year-old trans woman named Sabrina who lives in New York City. Whole ordeal. Well, I'll just tell you, there's, I think, not any real serious doubt about whether or not this shooting was real. I've got three, count them, experts with backgrounds in doing investigations of this kind, and each one of them is giving me reasons to believe this thing was completely fake, phony. And Jack, give me your preliminary, and I know we have an additional guest here, so you can introduce as well, please.
Hello. I don't know. You know, I was talking to Stephanie Sledge this morning about these shootings, and I just done the article on the one in New York not too long ago, and based on the fact that this is probably the last few years of all of our existence in this paradigm, we're all a bit busy, and it gets really, really challenging to keep up with them.
Yes, I agree. Challenging to keep up with all that, the flood of phony staged events. I agree, Jack. Unreal.
All you have to do is look how quickly Biden was out with his prepared speech with the same exact words that we heard every single time. we see the people sitting there as, you know, saying how they lost their children, but in the same sentence is talking about this has to stop. We need gun control. The same thing we saw in Sandy Hook, Parkland, and the others that you mentioned. This agenda doesn't seem to be about how does someone basically dressed like a killer, manhandling big guns, get into an elementary school. I know the elementary schools where my son went. They've all been locked down since Sandy Hook. You have to buzz things and go through two doors, and they have a sheriff, in the county that's actually on duty in these schools. I mean, that itself is telling that there's a school somewhere where you can just walk in with a couple of assault rifles and, start doing your busy work. So all I can say is that Obama was right out shortly after Biden with he and his husband Michelle's, concern for the families. And and so all I know about it right now, I mean, I look at a few things that seem peculiar to me, the Border Patrol being there, et cetera. But basically, Jim, it's just too much to keep up with.
Well, let me just mention a few elements. We had early reports that he'd been captured alive. Later reports he was shot dead in place. We had another report he rammed his Ford 150, very popular and expensive truck, into the school. Another, it was abandoned in a ditch. I saw it in the ditch. I wondered how in the world could this 18-year-old kid have afforded this apparently new Ford truck. They run, I don't know, 50 grand. Then he's supposed to have bought two AR-15s. Well, they run from 1,000 to 1,500. I've seen estimates that his hardware actually ran many grand more than that. How does a kid pick up weapons like that? Why would you have two? Is he going to fire one in each hand, Jack? I mean, this is just ridiculous. Then you got this woman who seems to have dodged into the school and got her two kids and graved them out, which contrasts with what happened at Sandy Hook. We have photographs in the parking lot of parents standing around with their hands in their pockets, their arms folded, looking on as a policewoman rearranges the kids to get a better shot while the shooting is supposed to be taking place. I mean, the absurdities, one after another, are simply overwhelming.
So, and like Sandy Hook, doesn't this one start off with him shooting a grandmother or some other...
Right, absolutely right. Just as a Buffalo was based on Christ Church, where you got the guy driving around, he's got a weapon that's all painted up, you don't see any shell casing ejections, bodies are on the ground before they're even shot. Yeah, I have got one point blank into a skull that should have blown apart like a melon and nothing happens, just a whiff of air. That's based on the New Zealand. You got the driver driving around, all this phony, firing the weapon. There's no blood, no gore. He even fires it into the windshield of his vehicle and it doesn't shatter the windshield. How do you do that, Jack? All incredibly stupid stuff at Buffalo. We even got a report of a black guy who was supposed to have... He's asked about the sequence of the shots, and he said, well, there was the first and the second was 1.7 seconds later. Jack, what, has he got a stopwatch? I mean, this is stupid beyond both. Then he said he actually ran into the guy on Friday before the shooting on Saturday, and they conversed for an hour and even bought him a Gatorade, and they talked about critical race theory. This guy's, what self-respecting racist would talk to a black guy for an hour about critical race theory, as Scorpio observed? The jokes of elements of this, Jack, are just stunning. So, yeah, at Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza, the fictional shooter, shot his mother, killed his mother, then went over to the elementary school to shoot up a bunch of first graders, 20 first graders and six adults, here in this little remote community in Texas. He's supposed to have shot his grandmother and then gone over to the school to shoot up second, third, and fourth graders. Jack, this is just unbelievable garbage. I mean, who believes this nonsense? But the whole world is swooning.
I know. Well, and I see people saying, I'm shocked. How can you be shocked anymore? How is it that you're not traumatized to the point? I mean, the mainstream media is really the trauma stream media. It's something that it has no value to us, to humanity in any way, shape, or form, except to make your lives miserable, to mind control you on a daily basis, to present you with brain damage again. I use that when we're forced to believe things that are inconsistent with reality. Say, for example, that an airplane can fly into a 650,000-ton building of cement and concrete. And steel, that it can burn to the ground. So if you have to hold that idea in your mind, you basically begin to produce brain damage because you're not able any further to, you know, create logical and critical thinking. And in this situation where you have so many of these shootings with the same MO, with the same news media beating it to death, this guy supposedly sends pictures of his guns to an unknown female that, you know, he encourages to repost them. I mean, this is basically another little bit of the New Zealand flavor of this thing, where there's a big emphasis on these guns. In New Zealand, the video that they produced would be identified as a child's high school video project. I mean, it was so fake. It was so similar to a video game that that's all it could have been. And yet reasonable people watched that video and said, well, you know, this happened here and this happened here. Well, we both saw them blow a hat off of some guy's head from the air emitted from the gun. And so it's so fantastic that it must be causing, you know, some form of brain damage for these people to try to deal with this.
You know, Jack, I should have. I'm just delighted we have Stephanie here as well. Stephanie Sledge has been doing brilliant work with the government rags. She has thoughts about all these issues. Stephanie, join the conversation. Your thoughts preliminarily.
I didn't expect to see Stephanie.
Steph, you got on mute. You got on mute.
You see her mouth moving, but nothing else?
No, actually, I don't see her image, but I do see her identity. But Jack continues. Stephanie will have to connect. I mean, she's not unmuted her. So presumably that's going to happen.
So, well, anyway, we've covered the idea that, you know, these things are absurd now. But it's interesting that people don't expect there to be any component of verification in any story going forward since, you know, in the early 2020s when they began this rampage. Stephanie just notified me that she's actually not in her house yet. And for whatever reason.
Oh, okay. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. She can join us when she has a chance. Yeah. Go ahead, Jack.
So anyway, she's just listening apparently. But anyway, we don't have any, we don't require any form of verification. We live in a civilization where if the news media says it happens, it happens. And it's just basically a claim. And we're in a situation where everything that you can dream up can now be produced in a form of a video where it's very difficult to tell truth from reality. We now know that we can have a person's voice absolutely reproduced, saying whatever somebody might want them to say. We know that we can take a image of the person and convert them into a simulation where they're apparently standing in front of you speaking, etc., but there's no relationship to the human being. Basically, the idea of these avatars come to life. And so, you know, I guess as we slide into that realm between the twilight zone of reality and the theater, nobody asked for any confirmation of any of these shootings. It was the things you saw in the video, for example, of the one that was in the subway not too long ago in New York. And there were actually scenes of people pouring the blood out of little containers around those supposedly shot.
Right.
And yet there's no indication of that by anyone. There's no police officer standing up saying, you know what, we saw something kind of weird there. Maybe we should look at this. And, you know, it's the obligation of the United States Senator, I'm sorry, Sheriff's Office to investigate anything that is presented to them in the form of a crime, whether they saw it themselves or whether a citizen brings it to their attention. And this is one of these cases where we have so many of these shootings that we need these, you know, videos that we see with ridiculous stuff in them. Presented to sheriffs and they have an obligation to investigate when there's reasonable cause to believe that maybe something's not right here. So I'm convinced that, you know, there's nothing they cannot say that people will not believe. I mean, I don't know what you can come up with. I mean, you're going to come up with that we have to wear masks. We've been wearing masks for 2 years and this virus keeps going on and we got another one in the works and we can show them where they had a tabletop exercise just a year earlier on the same topic. We have these variants that are supposedly, you know, causing new damage while people can see clearly that when people are getting vaccinated, they're dying. And when they get vaccinated, they're getting horrible repercussions, adverse effects. And so you know, I don't think that we can depend on the human being any longer to be judge and have the ability to stand up and say, you know, enough's enough. We're left in a small group, isolated people like ourselves that see a world that's absolutely insane. And yet we can't make anybody do anything about it, about anything. And I think that's one of the it's just, I mean, I got to laugh at it. It's just.
Well, it's because the authorities who ought to be exposing these things are in on it, Jack. There's no question about it.
Yeah, well, and you know, so excuse the news media. I mean, it's like the news media is it's just so incredibly evil. And yet to understand that the same people who control the mainstream media, trauma stream media, also control most of the medical industry, also control our university systems, also control and create our currency. These same people present the entire reality to an individual. Now, we've done this before, but it's worth it if somebody hasn't seen me and you talk about this in the past, but we're not presented with reality any longer. This is a fake reality that's streamed to us every day. It's a participatory system where you get to play your part. You are basically an unpaid crisis actor in an ongoing psychodrama where you are one of the, you know, victims in the sense that you're being traumatized by almost everything in your life. You know, there's a deadly disease at every corner. There's people, racists trying to shoot you, white supremacists behind every corner, that people are trying to prevent abortions. How, oh, my God, you know, somebody wants to, you know, say, let's stop killing babies. These are all traumatic and triggering events, apparently, in the average American's life now. And I don't know whatever happened to the psychology profession and now the psychiatry profession. We know where they went. They went straight down the tubes with the AMA and the rest of them. And the APA, I think, for American Psychological Association or whatever, I'm sure that they're under the same yoke as the rest of them, but there ought to be some, you know, individual maverick type of people who study psychology that could make some comments about the nature of this reality not actually being real, that it's some sort of shared mass delusion, and that that each one of us is inadvertently contributing to it and playing their part by going along and giving it substance and repeating the nonsense and wearing the vaccines and not asking to see, you know, any kind of proof that people are dead in these shootings, or not wondering how many people are at their funeral home like now. Right now, if you're a local person and you check out your funeral homes locally, you're going to find that their business is way up. I mean, going through the roof, where they're having to farm out some of their business because there's so many people dying. And if you speak to an undertaker and you find out that, you know, or ask questions about what are the conditions of these people, say, compared to somebody 2+ years behind this, you know, going all the way back to the beginning of time, and they're going to have stories about, you know, the nature of the blood clots and the materials they're finding in the bodies, and even some of the body parts still remaining active and animated after the person is long gone. These things are things that, you know, you would think about if you were trying to understand what was going on in this world. And you could ask an undertaker, does this seem reasonable that we have all these deaths now, but we didn't have any deaths of any unnatural causes in 2020. I mean, for the most part, deaths of all causes in 2020 were about 7 or 8% lower than the 3 years previous. And as a result of that, we would be questioning, well, where was the virus then? Where was the pandemic? But suddenly when the injection starts, so did the deaths. Now, right there, we have something that a sheriff's department could investigate. And, you know, we don't see any sheriff's departments investigating. We only hear of about a handful of people around this country that are actively involved with lawsuits for whatever good that is. And I know you're an expert on that subject. But, you know, you can't make it into the court systems anymore. So where does law abiding, you know, people who want their nation back, seeking some sort of justice, how do we regain this justice? Now, you know, I have a couple of theories on that, and maybe we'll talk about that later, because unfortunately I'm not as prepared as usual thanks to the amount of work I got to do right now.
Oh, Jack, I know. You're no. I know. You're
with us. Taking a turn towards, yes, I can still pay the bills now.
You're one of the busiest guys on the face of the planet. I know that well, my friend. I'm just delighted to be able to snatch a couple hours of your time here to share with us. And if we're Go ahead.
I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I can help you, and I think you're one of the bravest. I mean, you're actually insanely brave. You might be just nuts.
That's the consensus of the family. The consensus of the family is I've lost my effing mind.
Right, and you're by being brave. I mean, even I have feelings in my stomach and heart when I begin to tell somebody that it doesn't appear that anyone at all, child-wise, died at Sandy Hook, and the outrage that comes out of the average programmed American mind, the Bill Clinton line of "How dare you?" You know, comes out of every single person, and you're made to feel like, oh my God, does everything I know just fall apart in this second because you can blurt some sentence you heard from Bill Clinton and have no other form of input at all except the mind control media? And yet you do it quite routinely, put up with it. I hardly see it on your face when people start calling you names, et cetera. It is as though you are one of those spirits that doesn't have to listen to the BS. You're just like, yeah, right. You don't know what you're talking about. And if you let me speak, I'll tell you. But you know what? Most people won't let you even speak. You know, their cognitive dissonance is too painful. They can't let even a little peep of that in. And the story of Sandy Hook is so cut and dry now that, what? I mean, like, there's nothing left. It's soup to nuts, been investigated. You have not every single detail, but you have the primary details. You've left no shadow of remaining doubt. What could we do, Jim?
Well, you know, it's fascinating that I thought when I was, received this complaint, which was absurd on its face, that had a death certificate attached, that had a file number, a state and town certification. And the complaint was objecting to a death certificate, a scan of which I published, which had no file number, no state or town certification, that the plaintiff in this case had himself released to Kelly Watt, a research colleague of mine that she'd shared with me, where we'd published a co-authored chapter in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, claiming, you know, where I observe that this death certificate is fake. And I'm given to understand it because my case is now before the Supreme Court of the United States. It's on their docket that I can say this. But let me qualify by saying that the court here in Madison enjoined me from even asserting. So let's just say this is just to explain what the lawsuit is all about, that I'm not reaffirming the statements over which I was sued, where the judge found me liable as a consequence. But the fact is, I was sued for four sentences, three in the book, one in a blog, denying the authenticity of the death certificate. That's what I was sued for. During the course of the hearing, the judge precluded already at the scheduling conference that I could not argue that nobody died at Sandy Hook. That was a rabbit hole we would not go down, which meant I was being precluded my basic defense, because if nobody died at Sandy Hook, then obviously any death certificate for a purported decedent from Sandy Hook has to be fake. And indeed, it's interesting that while the complaint claimed there were no material differences between the one I'd published and the one attached, obviously the file number, the town, and the state certification were material differences, so it was a legal absurdity from the beginning. But I thought this was an opportunity to get all this evidence I'd amassed and publish in the book into the public record through a judicial process. That, of course, was to be something the judge was eager to preclude me from doing. And would you believe, Jack, even when we focused only on the death certificate per se, my co-defendant, Dave Gaheri, who was a publisher of the book, and I obtained two more death certificates. He got one from the town, I got one from the state. So before the oral hearing, there were four different death certificates in evidence that I had introduced. The fact that they were all different was prima facie evidence that this was a fabrication. I mean, there should have been one death certificate, not four different versions. And when we were required to focus only on the death certificates, I obtained the reports from not one, but two forensic document experts, both of whom agreed that all four of those death certificates were fake, all four. And yet the judge merely set them aside as someone else's opinion. Jack, would you believe in Wisconsin it's part of the summary judgment methodology that the judge can decide whether or not evidence is reasonable or unreasonable? The judge has that right to use his subjective opinion to exclude evidence? So that the way it's set up in Wisconsin, the judge basically takes the side of the movement, the person who brings the lawsuit and seeks to, you know, determine, do they have a prima facie case, and is there anything the non-movement, the defendant, has that can rebut it, and then to find out if they can resolve the movement's issues in favor of the non-movement's issues in favor of the movement. So he declared through all of this there was no disputed evidence when everything was disputed here. And then in his post-verdict summary, he went through and gave a real good description of how I deny it was real, that anyone died there, blah, 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 blah. But it wasn't reasonable at the level of the appellate court. They actually cite the official account, and then in virtually the next sentence they account mine. You could not have two set of facts more in opposition. If there's a disputed fact and a summary judgment in any other state, to my knowledge, it would automatically require a jury trial. But in Wisconsin, the judge can make up his own mind about the facts and declare there's no disputed facts, no matter how egregious a dispute. Jack, it's absurd what goes on in Wisconsin. And that's what I'm appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court, that I was denied due process under law because the summary judgment rules in Wisconsin are completely different than those in Texas, the case I use as a contrast, where in Texas, the first thing they do is assume all of the non-movement's facts are true. Does a movement agree with those facts? And if the answer is no, and since I'm asserting nobody died at Sandy Hook, and he's asserting he's got an authentic death certificate, he would have had to acknowledge, no, that we don't agree. It would have automatically gone to a jury trial, Jack. But in Wisconsin, they could sabotage my very effort by the judge exercising his own subjective opinion about whether or not what I was saying was reasonable. Can you believe?
Yeah, I believe. I'm wondering, did you notice the date and time when this so-called ability of the court came into effect? And in other words, is this a new law that they've introduced that courts don't have to hear both sides of the...
No, it's a summary judgment practice. In fact, in my petition, I cite a local advisor to the courts telling them how to conduct a summary judgment. And it's a four-step process that protects the move against the non-move. We'll be right back with Jack Mullen.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'll tell you, Jack, it's ironic in retrospect, but because the Wisconsin methodology is out of whack with that of other states such as Texas, where this could never have happened, but where in Wisconsin they were following their own methodology so that the suppression of all my evidence and the denial that there were any disputed facts was not only carried out at the circuit court level, but then approved by the appellate court and even by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, meant that I had an issue of significance at the national level, to wit, making uniform summary judgment procedures in all 50 of the states. That is among the criteria for a case submitted to the Supreme Court to be docketed. You have to have a national issue. It has to be a significant issue. It has to transcend your individual case. Mine satisfies all of those. And in fact, while only 80 cases out of some 10,000 submitted every year make it to a hearing, and the process is going to be that on the 21st of June, the respondent Posner must reply if he chooses to exercise. He may waive it. The evidence in this case is so rock solid that I'm holding my breath waiting to see what they're going to possibly say. Then it goes to the response, the petition, and any amicus briefs that have been submitted go to the 40 clerks of the Supreme Court. They evaluate the cases and they make summary recommendations to the justices. And if at least four of the nine decide it should be heard, they will issue the writ and it will be heard with oral arguments. There's a new briefing process. They get the entire record of the case from the state and there's a new opportunity for briefing, and then there's an oral hearing. And I'll tell you, Jack, it sounds like such a long shot, but the fact is this case, I think, is going to be so appealing to the court. It's going to allow them a way to deal with Sandy Hook without dealing with Sandy Hook, because that's merely the background of the issue. But it highlights the issues because it's a matter of national significance, Sandy Hook. And you had a single judge in a circuit court finding me liable of a falsehood, in effect determining Sandy Hook was legitimate without even having my evidence into the record, except that implicitly it was there. I even got the book admitted as the last evidence. It was Exhibit 10 in the oral hearing at the conclusion. I'm really glad I did that. But the fact is that they had an understanding of my position, which they delineated very clearly, while then denying it as unreasonable. Jack, how bad is that?
I can't understand it. I mean, this makes my mind hurt. What I heard you just say was that that Posner has to respond, and I'm not quite clear what he has to do with this particular aspect of your case.
Well, it's because it originated with him. It's technically my suit is brought as Fetzer versus Posner, whereas heretofore it's been Posner versus Fetzer. And the Fourth Court of Appeals here in Wisconsin is the highest level that's adjudicated and found in favor of Posner. So he is a party who has the opportunity to respond. I've just notified his attorney representative. He had three law firms and about five attorneys, so they jacked it up to $650,000 legal fees when I tried to dispute the identity of the man who came here to testify as Leonard Posner, whom I'm convinced is, in fact, a whole nother party by the name of Reuben Vabner, who manufactured the photographs of little Noah out of from those of his own son, Michael Vabner, when he was a child. Jack, this is a fascinating case. And it's even there in the petition that I disputed the identity of the party, which was a fraud upon the court, and the court never raised its least digit to confirm or deny.
Right. I was watching a video the other day. I think the guy's on YouTube. Maybe he got booted off. His name is Nicholson in 1968. But anyway, he has a whole little episode there of about Posner, but he calls him Posner, which I think is a better way to pronounce it.
Well, yeah, Posor. He's pretending to be somebody he is not. Yeah, a Posor. I like that. Yeah, Jack, go ahead. Tell me about it.
So anyway, he just does an entire video, probably 8 or 9 minutes, on little Noah showing up, you know, dead in multiple places with new imagery that he has obtained from someplace. So we might find that interesting to look at, but we see his picture in, I guess it was in India. You remember, I don't remember.
Pakistan,
yeah. And, but anyway, this guy, Nicholson, was then immediately approached by the Honor Network to take down his video, of course. And he said, no, I won't take down my video because I have legitimate sources for these images. They don't belong to you. And, you know, I'm not going to make that public, but nonetheless, when Lenny's people come after him, he's prepared to produce his information about this case. So, you know, it seems like it's falling apart on its at the seams anyway. You know, the air's getting out of the balloon. And
the catch being, it's so hard to get into a court to begin with. I've made efforts again and again in a whole host of these lawsuits to intervene, because none of the courts have ever addressed a fundamental question, the predicate for all the lawsuits. Did anybody die at Sandy Hook? And no one wants me there, not even Remington, believe it or not. They'd rather give up $73 million than admit that nobody died at Sandy Hook, Jack. It's preposterous.
You look at the leadership of Remington, you'll see that it's not possible for them to do so. So when most all of the major industry, especially the arms industry in the United States and the world, for that matter, is under the control of a consistently small group of the same people, then we can understand that, you know, it didn't matter to Remington to lose $73 million. Maybe their part was to play fall guy for the Second Amendment and, you know, to be the company that, you know, was involved with the takedown of the Second Amendment by admitting that just owning a gun – or maybe even thinking about one is, you know, you're liable for some sort of cause of effect with the, that the gun might have to a third party, which is not even within the ownership of the gun you were happen to be thinking about. So, you know, Remington is a player, I think, a big part in this action, and they were deliberately chosen for that reason. So you're bringing, you know, you are really the man of La Mancha in the sense that you're fighting a windmill that's so big, a monster. You know, David and Goliath is a good story because that monster spreads out over the background of this. And as I've said to you before, and we know that this world is filled with, you know, this is the most egregious lie in all history. Well, we've already been trumped out on all that stuff. But this is, however, one of the weakest openings into their armor that, if exploited properly, would bring down a massive amount of goings on, you know, especially with the pernicious and dangerous, hateful and anti-American and pro-communist, nihilist, civilization-ending media. And I could go on for maybe 20 minutes with other adjectives that describe the media. The media is a hateful entity that spends its entire fortunes on producing information to control people into believing that everything that's inimical to their life is actually a good thing. And that's what they do. So I think this is, I put this in the at the top of all of the things, and I, you know, and that includes the vaccine genocide. Obviously, the vaccine genocide is going to work itself out sooner or later. There will be reports about, you know, we got fooled. We thought that, you know, that 110,000 people that died in the first 21 days was just a fluke. But it'll eventually resolve itself as more and more people die. But in this case, this doesn't have to resolve itself. And I think it's therefore higher than getting rid of the vaccine genocide. And you're at the center of it. It is interesting that you would be in Wisconsin, one of the few states I would imagine that has such a summary judgment type law. Is
yeah.
Just another one of the stumbling blocks.
Well, no doubt that's why they filed here. They knew all the cards were stacked in their favor. And, you know, you had a judge who regarded it, turns out, in retrospect, because he stated his views in his post-judgment opinion. He thought everything I said was unreasonable, that I should have listened to Posner, that Posner tried to tell me what was the case and I just didn't listen. I mean, it's just absurd, Jack, absurd. I mean, here I went to the state, we went to the town, we had the original death certificate Posner himself had given to Kelly Watt. We had four different death certificates for the same kid and they were all different, prima facie proof of fabrication. And he just set it all aside. He declared, in essence, they were all authentic, Jack. They were all authentic. Tell that to the state cop who gets an incomplete driver's license. It has no driver's license number, no state. And he brings in the guy for having a fake driver's license because it's incomplete. Well, does this judge or any other judicial authority think that's a legitimate complaint against a trooper? These were incomplete death certificate. Not in Connecticut, not even parents are allowed to have an incomplete death certificate, Jack, an uncertified. So this was just a fraudulent case from the beginning.
Well, you know, the precedent was set with Obama's birth certificate. When examined, it also fell completely apart.
Oh, yeah. The Hawaiian birth certificate. Yeah, it was layers upon layers of photoshopping. It was embarrassingly bad. I have two Kenyan death certificates. One appears, which appears to be authentic, has got his little footprint on it. The other is a document that's signed by officials who weren't even in office at the time that's fake. So if someone brings up the Kenyan birth certificate, they'll say, oh, yeah, but that's been shown to be fake, trading on the ambiguity between the real one and the phony one. I mean, it's very clever. Can you imagine the time and effort they invest in all these phony events to deceive the American people? Jack, that money ought to be put to constructive use. It's your money and my money. It's taxpayer money. They're using it to finance these mass deceptions. It's unbelievable.
Well, they have access to all the money there is. And, you know, that was one of the whirlwind victories of that watershed year called 1913 when they ended up with the control of, and I'm talking about the Bankster cartels, the Jewish-based empire that owns banking in our civilization, when they took control of the United States banking system in 1913, along with introducing the income tax law and getting rid of the 17th Amendment. And what was it? There were three parts to that. They essentially destroyed the United States and its constitutional government that year without a state having a representative of his own in as part of the representatives, you know, but in the Senate. If the state could not appoint their own, then they therefore were no longer party to the Constitution. And so the Constitution died that year. But the thing they did was they were able to monopolize the credit of the United States, the creation of credit, and therefore use the incredible industrial might of the United States to do their bidding, slowly at first, but it was within the first 4 years they had these in World War One. And, you know, that was for purposes of generating even more money through borrowing and interest payments and so forth. And so we know now that you know, there's nothing they can't do with the money that they have. And money is nothing whatsoever, means nothing to them. This is completely about an agenda. This is it has many, many ramifications for a variety of different things on this planet, but primarily it's designed to remove the right of an American person to own a weapon, especially a weapon that would be useful in the form of self-defense. Obviously, you might be able to be like the Australians and still have a single shot shotgun in case you need to, you know, scare off a bear or something. But you're not going to be allowed to have any useful weapon when it came to protecting yourself. So the key here is that self-protection is all we have against this monster that is already marching now. And enslaving the rest of the Western world. We see that Australia has been under something that we can only call total dominance. They've been under the George Orwell's boot since the beginning of this. Their leadership is pure arrogant tyrannist, and the people themselves, without the ability to even think about massing together and pushing back, have nothing that they could grab a hold of to protect themselves, in the sense that at least we have weapons. If we need them, we will use them. And, you know, it's not the threat, or it's not competition that cleans up a market and makes all the products better and makes everything in a market better. And the reason that John D. Rockefeller Sr., you know, always reminded people that competition was a sin is because it's just the threat of competition. If it's possible to compete in a market, then an industry will typically, under proper market conditions, fix the problem, as Alcoa Aluminum did for maybe 30 or 40 years in the early part of the 1900s. They had, I think probably into the 1940s, they had a monopoly that persisted on its own, not because there was any government-created enforcement of the monopoly, as there is now in every field that's important, but rather a market-created monopoly that persisted because the product was just the best there was. So in order to compete with something like that, you would have to, you know, quickly get into their market with a product that was identical, and then try to take away the loyalty of their customer base, which was not possible. And it wasn't until Alcoa was broken up manually using the 1898 Sherman Act, I believe, you know, that they were able to do that. And so in this situation right now, Americans have the ability to stand up against this tyranny. They could do so in large numbers and quickly end it overnight. But as long as they're the threat of them using their so-called, you know, tactical weapons against the military, against the government, against the individuals, then they will not sleep another minute until they get it out of our hands. They use the same exact procedure they used in Scotland, same exact procedure they used in Australia. And these procedures have been shown over and over and over. New Zealand lost their weapons with the fake
Christchurch, whatever that was. Christchurch.
We're just talking about. So, you know, and these people just voluntarily walk up and hand them over, the same way they send their child in to get a vaccine of something that not anybody in the whole room, I don't care if it's being administered by a physician or the nurse or the janitor, has the slightest idea what is inside the vaccine. And yet the trust-based civilization that we've grew out of and are genetically, I guess, connected to has lost the ability to say this is maybe a survival technique that was useful when it was too cold for us to not trust people. I don't know. But I know that this thing is now, you know, it's now harmful to humanity to be so trustful. So that's what they're doing, Jim. They're attempting to primarily remove the weapons of the United States that could stand against this and any other thing they plan to bring, because they plan to bring anything they want. These people are arrogant. They're all psychopaths. They're probably the remnants of inbreeding for many, many, many generations. And you and I are as significant to them as chattel, as an animal, as the Talmud considers the Goyim, something less than human. And I believe that intrinsically in my heart and soul, whether it's from the fact that I believe I woke up when I was very young and my mother was most distressed by the fact that I was complaining to her that I could not believe. And I'm talking about when I was maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. I don't remember the exact age. I know I was young enough to be out playing on my own with some neighborhood kids, but not very large. And I started asking my mother how it was that I got reborn in a world where these religions were still in control. And my mother, who was a school teacher.
As a little kid, you answer that question, this profound question, Jack. You were truly precocious.
Not only that, I started crying. I had some really nice friends in an idyllic American-only scenario, living in a lake with my parents over the summer for, say, 8 or 10 years. They had this place, and we'd go up there and the last day of school and stay till the, and had this little neighborhood of people that, you know, was so fun to play with. But a couple of the girls there that I thought were, you know, my best friends then, they wanted me to go to their church. And I was not exposed to anything radical about religion by my mother or father until I went to church with these people. And when I went to church, they took me to Pentecostal, I think, somewhere where they actually started breaking out speaking in tongues. Well, whatever that was, it triggered a memory. And I suddenly realized that this has all been done before. I literally came home and I said, not again, no more. I can't be here. How did I get here with this happening again? This is not true. This is all nonsense. Why would anyone believe it? And, it took me a week and a half or more to get over it. And my mother just dealt with it. She was like, it's going to be fine. I don't understand what your problem is, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, maybe that was the reason that this makes sense to me and doesn't make sense to everyone else. But I've heard, you know, so while we're just floating here, because I got to want to ask a few more things about this shooting, but while we're floating into this world of discussion of this nature, which is a little bit etheric in the sense that we're not grounded in reason of the type that Western civilization is fond of, you know, it would seem that many people, not just the New Age folks who are working diligently for the people that, you know, Madame Blatsky and Alice Bailey and the various groups that were associated with her, the Fabian Society, the Theosophy people, those people are working around the clock to try to convince basically Christian Zionists that their philosophy of blending in this idea that Jesus was something of a man that was slightly different, but still the same in the sense that he loved the people. His message was about love. They blended in with a bunch of frequency stuff and how we're now going to ascend. And some of them even believe we're going to be taken out at the last minute, or those of us that are ascended or in a higher frequency realm are going to be spared the tribulation that's now evident that's on its way. There are others in the same vein, which I tend to gravitate towards more now, that believe that this is just basically a giant simulation and that our lives control some of the direction of it. And that in that sense, we really are a player in playing a role that we can change. I find that more and more interesting. Because it's just so clear. I mean, it's just so clear that this thing cannot be this insane. I mean, you and I both grew up you grew up a little earlier than me, but we grew up through the 60s and 70s and 80s in a world that was entirely different than this, founded on reason and basically peace. And that wasn't because they weren't working with our own resources to destroy peace and humanity around the world. It was just that we were sheltered from it. Primarily so that we would continue to generate and create wealth for which they could steal and then destroy the rest of the world. But right now, as I say, there's this growing belief that we have something to accomplish while we're here. Those of us that are awake, maybe it's time to stop trying to wake others up because there's nothing that seems to be able to be done. I mean, I can't make anybody that is adamantly, close their mind and is controlled by the mainstream media. I cannot make them even look at anything. I mean, they'll hear me say it, but as far as open a document or read a book or watch a video, it's impossible. And I've watched a lot of their BS stuff, mostly because, I want to say I did. I mean, I can do it. I can watch this stuff. And it doesn't hold any consistency to reality in any way, shape, or form. It's all based on emotion and the sort of new age philosophy that is blending these religions together for purposes, I think, of creating the one world religion, which is essentially what Christianity, its mission was. Christianity is a Jewish religion, and its mission over the course of the last 2,000 years, if there were in fact 2,000 years and we have not been lied to about the date and the chronography of our existence, if that's the case, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say before we come to the break that this case before the Supreme Court is so interesting that anyone who wants to follow it can go to the Supreme Court website and they have the opportunity to check out the docketed item. Just put in Fetzer versus Posner, Fetzer v. Posner, and you can access the whole suit. You can see all my financials because in order to submit pro se in my own behalf, I had to show I could not afford an attorney. So you'll see all my legal indebtedness, where if you were inclined to want to help me to defray the 100,000 I'm in debt, that would be sensational. You could go to givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer. Don't add an extra slash to the funding Fetzer or you won't get there. givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer. But you can not only download all my financials, you can download my petition to the Supreme Court, which apparently ranks on the very five different criteria, because I have a friend who had a submission she had made to the court that was rejected. And you can also see the appendices. It's a fascinating case. In fact, a retired professor of law said to me, the weakness of my case would no one would believe that the summary judgment procedure in Wisconsin is as bad as it is. Check it out. The Fetzer v. Posner at the U.S. Supreme Court. You can download the whole case right to your desktop. Be right back. Jack Mullins.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jack, it seems to me we're in just a dreadful state with this administration. You got a fake president who gives talks from a fake Oval Office. He was in because of a fake and stolen election. Everything he's doing seems to me to be destructive of the United States, economically, socially, morally, every single action he's taken. I believe the Democrats think that they can change the narrative. There's so much going on that's so detrimental to them. You have Robbie Mook, Hillary's campaign manager, acknowledging that Hillary Clinton herself had approved the smear job on Donald Trump using the fake Steele dossier during the Michael Sussman trial. That's bad news. We had a hacker break into Moderna and Pfizer website and reveal tens of thousands of documents that they knew how dangerous the vax was. They don't want that to be revealed. The Buffalo shooting was so amateurish and so fake, anyone who sees it is virtually going to break out in laughter. So they want to change the subject to another. But as I may have mentioned earlier, the polling shows the American people have more trust in Republicans to handle gun control than they do the Democrats. So I think it's going to backfire every way you look at it. Your thoughts about the big picture?
Well, we're being played Republican-Democrat. The two-party paradigm is a manufactured construct. And it's clearly there to capture the imagination of the most vulnerable among us. And that happens to be the largest voting bloc to also. So it is true that the conservative side, the so-called Republican side, is has been historically related to, and not all the way back into the beginning of American history. Democrats were pro guns as well, but they've been mostly associated with the Republicans, especially in 20th century. And so, we would see now, we would probably oscillate back to a presidential candidate that runs, he's going to be pro-guns, And if they do what they have been doing, they'll likely, in my opinion, you know, recreate another Republican, maybe Santos from Florida. Is that his name?
DeSantos. Yeah. Ron DeSantos. Yes. Yes. Continue.
He seems to be being groomed for such a position. And although, I mean, I can talk about the fact that he is just another player in this theater. But regardless, you know, the whole Trump narrative is reliant on the idea that Trump is pro-gun control and that Trump got that election stolen from him. And this is a big topic. And there's a big topic. And I mean, it's a theological topic. It blends over into the controlling religions. And it is also something that many people focus a lot of their energy on day in, day out, when in fact Trump was part of the plan to begin with. He had no ability to continue in office because that was not the script. The script was he was going to have the election stolen from him, and he did, and that's clear. And this new video from D'Souza, it's 2000 Mules.
Dinesh D'Souza, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that video pretty much confirms what most people already knew. Now, I could take a little side trip there with that particular concept of election fraud, in that there are a lot of people waking up to the fact that that election was stolen. And I was personally involved with setting up I just did the part of setting up the webinars that were based on this group of people in South Carolina that got together and decided to investigate South Carolina vote fraud. And they investigated the top eight counties that were involved with the largest number of votes. And they found significant vote fraud, so much so to say that the election was not something that could have been credibly given to the Biden administration. And yet they couldn't get anyone to come listen. They presented their evidence. They reduced seats for the for all of their senators, Republicans, and the governor himself. Nobody showed up. Two representatives from the state showed up. They happened to be local candidates, so they had a little bit of skin in the game. Then we find in Pennsylvania images of votes being dumped in the garbage. We see that some of South Carolina's votes ended up being mailed to Maryland someplace, and on the day of election, they show up with a big bundle of votes that were supposed to go into the South Carolina. I heard something today about votes showing up someplace else in the news, and just today. And so we know there was vote fraud. And much to their credit, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Organization, for which I happen to be part of maintaining their web resources and play some role in their day-to-day materials because I manage their webinars, and I actually do play the part of a host with Sheriff Mack a couple of times a month. They have announced that they have decided, after watching the 20,000 mules or 2,000 mules, whatever it was, that there is enough evidence, and they are sheriffs, that they believe that this needs to be investigated, and they are now putting it on as a public platform. So if you would go, for example, to CSPOA.org and click on the news button, you'll see the first item there is elections. And in that elections is an announcement, a press release, that is saying to anyone who wants to read it that they are now contacting sheriffs around the country and encouraging them to take the evidence that they already have, to weigh the evidence from this video and then the other information from the states like South Carolina. And if they believe that there's enough evidence, then to begin the process of, you know, their own investigation, and which then, of course, leaves us with the court systems at the end. But regardless, this is a bit of good news because there clearly was vote fraud, and it's incontrovertible. You can't argue with it, and it's as plain as day. So, you know, I see what you were saying in the sense that the gun control issue is going to be played well in this particular upcoming election. And of course, most people believe that Trump's going to run again. And he's out there with his own little group of promoters promoting himself as though he's going to run again. And so, yes, you know, it's likely that that'll cause Trump to be put back in office if he runs. And it'll be related to the gun control issue. The thing is, though, the Biden administration doesn't have any power to do anything about gun control. You know, they can make all the claims they want about something's got to be done, and I'll make an executive order and blah, blah, blah. But without having the states behind it in order to enforce it themselves, it has no value because his executive orders don't hold any weight over a state citizen. And unless, of course, you happen to live in Washington, D.C. or a couple other places or work for the federal government. But regardless, I think that this is just another one of these diversionary tactics as they move this agenda forward. Now, we've seen during the COVID nonsense that we didn't see so many shootings. And, you know, the news media just didn't have any more real estate. And now with the temporary lax in the insanity of pandemic lockdowns and the absolute fake science that underlies it, we are seeing an opening in the real estate available for news media. So now we're right on schedule. We see the shootings, you know, escalating again. And I think these are the sort of things that we will see continue to escalate as they roll out the next vaccine nonsense like monkeypox, for which they've already produced 15 million vaccines, order for 15 million ampules or whatever they're called for a vaccine. And then other diseases, including smallpox, and there's many others that they are giving some lip service to being concerned about. And of course, if they're concerned about something, that means that they've already spent a lot of money. And then, of course, the food wars and the attack on our food system. And so, you know, the fact that it looks to me like as massive amounts of people begin to die from this vaccine and more get long-term, only recently discovered side effects, including just an outrageous amount of unusual cancers and heart problems for people that in their age group should have no heart problems. And we watch them change the medical literature to reflect the fact that it is quite common for a 28-year-old male to suffer myocarditis.
Jack,
you know, at that age. But
Jack, this is so insulting and contrary to ordinary human experience. I mean, how they believe they can get away with this bullshit is utterly unbelievable to me.
But they're getting away with it, and they're getting away with it because there's no media. And there's going to be less and less media. We can see all over the place that there's efforts being made to censor in greater amounts than ever before. Now, we even see pressure groups to get Facebook to come under some, you know, governmental body who maintains, you know, the cleanliness of their content. And these are all, that's just all nonsense. And I'm not certain that we actually have any legitimate access to our media anyway. In fact, and it wasn't all part of the plan to disseminate a certain amount of knowledge, to create a certain amount of people being against each other, you know, the setting up groups to fight each other, that this was part of the plan and necessary to create the chaos. And, you know, this thing, like with Roe versus Wade, I mean, it's something absurd, and yet it's bringing out a distractions that people can focus on, and B, it's bringing out more nutcases that want to start wars and battles and divide, and so the division is being part of having this internet for a period of time. But we both know, and I know better than most, that the internet is just a wonderful luxury that's maintained through an enormous amount of superstructure and infrastructure maintenance. And it has many, many weak links, including its own way of being powered. Much like the cellular system, it's a useless, for security purposes, the cellular system is a total disaster. And it only stands because there's no reason for it not to stand. But once there's a moment's worth of reason for it not to stand, it can all be taken down in 30 seconds. I mean, I used to only have a cell phone, but I recently had my landline reinstalled because there may be some usefulness in a landline, you know, for some period after they take down the cell phone system. And so anyway, we're just living in the in the glory days of the internet, but we see that they're making all sorts of noises about it being taken down through cyber attacks that are nonsense, and through just plain old censorship. And I'm not sure what I started out talking to you about here, except that we are moving into a dystopian reality where we have a few minutes here to make some plans for what's going to happen going forward. And I recommend that people make their own decisions, but regardless, you need to make some plans about what you're going to do when this life that you're used to is suddenly gone. And, all the videos and movies that they showed us over the years of these dystopian realities were just part of the programming, whether it was an echo of the future playing back in a current century, or whether it was deliberately designed to make it easy for you to understand what a road warrior environment is like. I don't know, but we're definitely seeing everything that they projected, say, in the 70s and 80s, right down to Soylent Green. You know, I saw the other day Washington State allows dead bodies to be composted.
And Jesus, and, Jack, this is so awful. God!
The compost is going to be used for fertilizer. And, of course, the thing about it is these people that are being composted into this sludge, they're on every biological poison medicine that there is. I mean, they're in chemotherapy. They have all sorts of mind-altering drugs. The psychological industry, for example, just, you know, handing them out like they're candy, and a variety of other poisons and toxins that just suddenly amplify the amount of toxins that are in the environment. And I certainly don't want to eat any food that's been, you know, been fertilized with compost of dead bodies. But this is just more of the same. I mean, you know, that's just the next step to eating dead bodies. And there's plenty of talk of us eventually having to eat bodies because, you know, global warming can't, you know, it can't be brought under control as long as we're eating livestock as food. And so the new move is to be able to take existing resources that we would normally waste, like a human body dead, and can turn them into something that's planet sustainable, with quotes around those words, and eating those. And they have plans for us to eat bugs. And Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are, you know, active in the genetically modified universe that we live in. And, you know, it has become apparent to me, Jim, over the last about 6 or 8 months, and I'm trying to get something I can read here, but the humanity has been being room for this big, great reset since the 1960s and even before, but most of the stuff in the 50s was just basically the planning. So whatever they had in mind for us, they've known for a very, very long time. But I'm reading a book now, and I recommend anybody and everybody to buy this book. It's called Geoengineered Transhumanism, How the Environment Has Been Weaponized by Chemicals, Electromagnetism, Nanotechnology, and it's all being done for synthetic biology. It's by Alana Freeland, E-L-A-N-A, Freeland, and you can find it on Amazon for now. When I bought it, I was a little bit skeptical because I listened to her talk, and it's you know, some of her stuff seemed like it can't be this bad. But this book is a pure mind blower, and it's taken me maybe a month and a half, and it's really what I wanted to come on and talk about today. But unfortunately, I didn't have time to produce the preparatory material to do it justice. But I will tell you a few things about it that we can speak about if you have a few seconds for me.
Oh, yeah, sure, Jack. Go for it. Go for it.
Okay, so it looks like every single thing that we've been exposed to in the form of, say, chemtrails, in the form of nanotechnology, in the air, in the food supply, in the water, fluoride in the water, these aerosols that are used in cities for just short-term blasts into the people, the incredible push to push vaccines in your body when people have no idea what's in them. These things were all coordinated to create an end result. Independently, they had their own vector of absorption by the human body and to play a part down the road. And the genetically modified foods were just one step of that. Now we're into genetically, of course, modified food, not foods, but Well, I didn't want to say foods. Meats. Yeah, it's basically food. I didn't want to say foods. I want to say meats. So we're seeing a world of transformation. And it seems to be related to transhumanism. And at the same time, of course, coordinated to reduce the population extremely. And go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to agree completely, Jack. I think you're laying out a lot of the basic elements here. You and I have a slightly different take on Trump. I don't think he's all bad or merely controlled opposition, but we don't need to debate that here and now. I do have a new report here, a tweet. Salvador Ramos, this is the kid who's supposed to be the shooter in Texas, said he was bullied for being poor, but has a full-size, fairly new truck. He's got a $1,000 iPhone. He's got a Daniel Defense rifle at $2,100, an upgraded S&W rifle at $1,000, EOTech laser sight at $500, tons of ammo. He just turned 18 a week ago. Something is fishy. An article that interviewed his grandpa said the kid dropped out of school, didn't work full-time, played a Call of Duty, left his mom's house because of Wi-Fi. How'd he come up with $4,000 to purchase all these weapons on his 18th birthday? Oh, I smell the FBI. Now, Mitchell has added a note that he's supposed to have stolen his grandmother's truck. But look, this is a Ford F-150. This had been advertised massively on television. I see these ads every single day. This is product placement, Jack. Product placement. They get all this free advertising for their Ford 150. Even a Texas shooter will count on it because it's so reliable. Give us a break.
I mean, what you just stumbled on there is that's the hallmark of a rotten civilization. I mean, this thing is just gut rotten. And the people that participate are, I mean, most of the people that are still working in the United States are related in some way to, you know, this fantastically fake environment that comes from the internet. And so they're, you know, internet technology in some way or another, whether they're spending most of their days on a Zoom conference or whether they're actually working for Google and Yahoo and the other giants, Amazon, that make their living off of deceiving us, off of listening to every conversation we have. They make their living off of funding surveillance devices that end up in all of our home appliances and light bulbs and whatever it is that you can carry home now and plug in is likely to contain some sort of surveillance device. And then they magically listen to that device constantly with AI technology. And then they formulate a plan for every single person alive. And so that F-150 just automatically got shoved in there.
They just couldn't resist.
And so it doesn't matter, you know, that Ford makes an extra buck off the so-called misery of some family member who purportedly lost a child while, you know, worrying about gun control. And so anyway, but this is the kind of life that we have to look forward to. There is a simulation that was created in we talked about this before in the mid-2000s, and I think it was at Yale. It was a university that was in the Ivy League, but anyway, they created a full simulation, and I think it's called the Global Sim or Planet Sim or something similar to that. But every single person in the world is representative in this global simulation, and then from the input that they get from your cell phone and every bit of our interaction with our televisions, telephones, you name it. They then are able to more accurately model the person. And each one of us gets modeled on a daily basis until that model can then be predictive. And so at some point, they won't have any real reason to keep you and me alive in the sense that they've already got a duplicate that knows me and knows you better than you know yourself, because we're stuck with, and not so much you, declining memory faculties, for example. We can't remember details of, say, you know, somebody pick a day, you know, June of 2008, 14th, what were you doing? Well, even if today were June 14th, you remember back to that date, you're not going to remember anything. Unless it happened to be your birthday and it happened to be an eventful birthday, or you can't remember a single thing. But these new simulation models with you in them Yeah, I remember everything about June 14th and based on, you know, when they came online and at what point they started accumulating your information. And that means accumulating your conversations. And then based on this new technology that we were describing in this book, they now have the ability to record your thoughts. And I used to think that that was going to be a tricky thing to do. I didn't rule it out. Being an electrical engineer myself, you know, I'm pretty open to technology can do about anything. Well, it can do this, and you can see how it can be done. And then by using vaccine technology and other vectors that they apply your body with nanotechnology, they are able to build little antenna systems in your body. And then from there, constructively, they can create bots that move around and end up in the proper place to transmit your thoughts to them. And as crazy as I used to think that sounds, I think it's already being done. And it's many people don't even realize that they're under that kind of surveillance. But with that in mind, all of your thoughts are now recordable. And this person that they're building to represent you, you know, becomes more and more like you to the point where you couldn't outcompete him being you. And that's the point where these so-called madmen of technocracy have no more use for a person like us. That's a point where a world based on a video game premise where it becomes a virtual existence instead of a physical existence is quite possible. And these people then can exist in an environment where, you know, they think that they are you. They think they are me, and they go on their merry way living their life under complete control.
Jack, let me interject. That's all fascinating stuff. We are going to open the phone lines for the final segment of the show. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will get you on the air with me and Jack Mullen. Jack, we're about to hit the break, but you got about 10 seconds if you want to have any more. We'll just pick it up from there when we return. I'm just delighted to have you here, Jack. I know how hard it is to manage to spare 2 hours to come on with me. All the demands on your time are, you're virtually superhuman in keeping all the balls in the air that you're having to juggle. So I'm really pleased to have this opportunity to converse with you. We'll be right back with Jack Mullen after this break. Take the opportunity and call in. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will get you on the air with Jack and me.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So here we are,
everybody. Welcome back.
We got Brian at area code 81. Brian, join the conversation.
You know me now. Now, what I was going to mention is when you talk about movies like Soylent Green and all this other stuff, what you're really dealing with is the egregore. Are you familiar with the term egregore?
Jack is. I'm not. You go ahead.
Well, egregore is where you use the group consciousness, the consciousness of the people of the planet, and you implant thoughts in their minds, and it kind of creates that future. It's like creating a false god. And they really use it in TV, okay, or movies, like Soylent Green. Well, then in the future, you're going to be, you know, people are going to end up like that. And they really use it for this technocracy thing. That's why you have movies like Terminator, iRobot and RoboCop. There's even a scene in RoboCop where suddenly they cut to a TV screen and they're talking about a laser beam zapping the coast of California and all these casualties. Well, and then what happens? We get that. Or in Men in Black, there's a scene where they're down along the Hudson River, whatever, and you can see the Twin Towers in the background, and there's some alien in a car, and all of a sudden they start talking in air traffic control lingo, and you see two crows crash into the towers, okay? And I mean, I could just go on and on with all this stuff. But what I've been doing lately is looking at episodes of The Outer Limits, and they just make your jaw drop. There was an episode where this town has the army come in and put up cell phone towers, and this is before cell phones. And the storyline is how this wife gets affected by the signal from the cell phone tower and shoots her husband. Okay. I mean, it just goes on and on. Or ritualistic killings are usually done in the bathroom. You know, if you look at, was it James Mayer, Ansel Rothschild in 96 was found murdered in the bathroom, Whitney Houston, Elvis Presley, Lenny Bruce, Morrison. You know, when you get drugs and the dark do these ritualistic killings, a lot of them, they're always in the bathroom. Well, there's an Outer Limits episode of an alien in a bathtub and he ends up dead. And I just, so, I mean, it just goes on and on. I like watching this stuff because it plays out today. Even the Christian Bible, Jim, if everyone believed like you believe, we wouldn't have any of these problems, because originally in the Bible, there was no such thing as sin. There was no hell, but they used that thing of the egregore and ended up getting that in all of our consciousness. So that's all I've got to say on it.
Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I was planning to speak about what I would pronounce egregora. But the definitions is kind of a group mind, which is created when people consciously come together for a common purpose. Whenever people gather together to do something, an egregore is formed. But unless an attempt is made to maintain it deliberately, it will dissipate rather quickly. However, if the people wish to maintain it and know the techniques of how to do so, the egregore will continue to grow in strength and can last for centuries. And so, I mean, it's something that it takes a while to wrap your head around, because it's not one of those straightforward ideas to understand. But it definitely has to do with a group consciousness that's created, and whether it lasts for a long time or a short time. My research regarding it is that it can last for decades. It can last for centuries, that people can become part of something that was created purposely, say, a century ago, and become aware of those same people who created it. And in that little sphere, have access to whatever knowledge it is that they were trying to maintain over that long period of time. Most of the time, it's for purposes of controlling people and doing things that we would normally call not nice. But regardless, he's correct, and that's these movies do create that same sense. And then later, when you see something, you know, like 9/11, there's some part of you that's already seen it before in a different form, and it somehow resonates, makes more sense. I don't know. I don't understand the intricacies of it, only that it exists and they're definitely worthy of more study. So very, very nice comment from that gentleman.
Yeah, it's predictive programming, of course, and they it just shows they anticipate, they plan these events way in advance. Brian, do you have any further comments or questions for Jack?
what I do to get a lot of this information, it's not a normal way. I don't get any of this out of books. I do something called Kundalini Yoga Chakra Dhyana, and I do it twice a day, and I've been doing it for like 11 years. And it's something that Christ brought back from India, and that was what he was originally doing with his followers, as he was teaching them how to do this. And of course, the dark took over his movement. And so when I do this, I get this information. And one of the things I got, when I start talking about it, I get emotional. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. Take your time. Just relax, Brian. Just relax. Take it easy. We're glad to have you here.
Well, okay. I hope you all believe in past lifetimes. I've seen so many past lifetimes when I do this. I saw my last past life. I was a Nazi wife, okay? And I saw my death. I saw myself in the basement of this house, and a U.S. soldier comes in, and I'm with my Nazi husband. He opens the door, and he shoots me first. And my last thoughts were, well, the bastard shot me first. You know, why didn't he shoot my husband first? And then I started realizing that I was a lover of a woman named Maria Osterich. And she was a Palladian, and she was sent here, and she was part of the Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E. And she was tasked with downloading from the Palladians plans to a flying saucer. And because of this, I figured out what she was doing. So I started downloading and I get all this information. And one of the things I downloaded was, and I'd never heard of this guy. I thought, who in the hell are they talking about? His name was Rabbi Shabbaton Zvi, okay? And what they showed me was that he was the Antichrist, that Christ incarnates, this Rabbi Shabbaton Zvi incarnates. They incarnate in different lifetimes. And that he was the one that, when he incarnated as Jacob Frank, did this egregore thing. So it kind of stems from there. And they gave me all this detail.
Brian, you take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Jack will comment on what you've been saying here. And then we'll bring in Paul from California. Jack, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like I said earlier, this seems like this is a world that is very similar to a simulation, and people like those that were involved with the Thule Society, including Aleister Crowley, and it has a relationship to Skull and Bones, et cetera, they know more about this reality than we do, and many of them are convinced that they're not convinced it's real. They speak to people that maybe they believe come from the Palladian star system or wherever it is that they say they come from. They come from somewhere, but I don't think they come from any star system. But they exist here, and some people are very susceptible to them. And, for example, Joseph Smith, who created the Mormon Church, you know, he spent a good portion of his life decoding some materials on some gold, little gold plates. And but he ran into somebody in the woods, and that person then gave him the plates. He spent years decoding them, and that became the Book of Mormon. And that's a long story, but regardless, that shortens it. And I think that what the gentleman is describing there is similarly related. People get information. I don't think, though, and I believe a great resource for understanding this is John Keel. I think he's the best resource. And you can start with the Mothman prophecies. I don't believe that information has very often proved to be truthful information only in some aspects. So it's like you get truth, but you get a bunch of BS with it. And it's up to you to try to discern which part might be truthful and what might not. But if you become completely absorbed by it, believe it that you're some chosen person and you got this new download, that it will always have a negative impact on your lifetime. Oh, God. But I don't agree with it. It's real.
Brian, just stand by. Paul.
I've got more comments about what he's talking about. There's some things there that he said that I don't agree with. So, yeah, if you want to have Paul.
Okay, Brian. We don't require everyone here to be of the same thought.
I understand.
Thank goodness. I still respect diversity of opinion, and I even like to feature people who have differences from my own. Paul's standing by. Paul, go ahead. Join the conversation.
Well, I don't practice any Kundalini yoga. Sounds interesting, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. and I do watch a lot of Nazi white supremacist videos.
There
on
you go.
World Truth Video. A lot of them have, excuse me, hang on one second.
Sure. And Brian, you want to get a cup of water yourself, too. Get some ice water, Brian.
Yeah, I'm back to normal. It's when I start talking about all these downloads I get emotional sometimes. But
sure,
I'm back
to
normal.
That's just fine. That's just fine. Now stand by. Paul is rejoining us. Paul.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I just had to clear my throat. And by the way, Brian, I heard your call the other day, too, and it was a good call. You sound like you have a lot of knowledge. So just making a little joke there. The other thing I was going to lead with until I changed my mind to the Kundalini, I was going to say, hello, is this Domino's Pizza? Can I have a human sludge pizza with extra sludge, please?
I know. Isn't it gross? Isn't it gross? My God, that's what they want.
What can we say, right? I mean, you know, can you see how people would just want to just turn this off, just drop out, you know, just have a barbecue, have a beer, you know, just enjoy your life. I mean, it's just beyond the pale. It's just too much for the average person to comprehend. It's almost too much for somebody like myself to comprehend, or even Jack. It's just one of those things where we're driven to know. I'm gonna look into this book that Jack recommended. Although sometimes I think I don't need to read any more books. Please, I don't want to know anymore.
Hello.
I know. I agree with you,
Mitchell.
Hear from me, by the way.
Hello.
We got another caller, Paul. I want you to stick around, of course. 214. Who's it? 214. Just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation. 214.
Lyle in Texas. And what okay. I called about, I just wanted to try to get a hold of Brian's information. He's got some pretty powerful information he needs.
You want to make contact with Brian? We'll have to figure out a way to do that. Maybe Mitchell can put you guys in contact. Mitchell's got a phone number. Mitchell, please do that. Meanwhile, we have Brew standing by. Brew, join the conversation. Long time, my friend.
Thanks. You know what happens when they fertilize the crops and so forth with the cremated, that they take people and they cremate them or whatever they do, however they're turning to ash to fertilize them. All this vaccine garbage, you know, is just another way to get to those that haven't been jabbed.
Because I believe it. Well, hold on.
Let me finish this. Allegedly, the spike protein, it takes like 6,000 degrees to kill them off. A crematorium only gets up to like 2,000, 1,200, 2,000 degrees. So even cremating the body doesn't kill the spike protein. They constantly live. So it's 6,000 degree temperature it takes to kill them. Even if they turn people to ash, they could spread it all over the field. Now they just spread your crops and your food is growing with what? Spike protein.
Bruce, that just seems so incredible. You can melt steel at lower temperatures than 6,000 for crying out loud. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Can these viruses and all this other happy horseshit survive those temperatures? You're telling me they can't?
It's not the virus. It's the spike proteins that Albert Bourla, the mad cow disease creator that now, you know, became head of Pfizer because he created this spike
the prions you're talking about.
Yeah, the prions, whatever. You know, I'm constantly getting confused lately. But, you know, look whatever they become, once they jab the people, they become that protein factory. They're actually reproducing. It's changing their DNA and whatnot. And they even them exhaling or coughing, they're transmitting it. All these different words we're using, they're spreading it all over. But now you take them, you burn their bodies down, you spread it all over crops and water and whatnot. Those prions, those spike proteins or whatever they are, this creation, the mad cow disease, it doesn't die. So if you're consuming it, what happens to you?
It doesn't have any DNA, no nucleic acids, and yet it can self-reproduce. It's almost virtually indestructible. It's easily absorbed into the body through the gut lining. And they've made all sorts of designer versions of prion disease that are most deadly. And they're responsible for many, many brain disorders, muscular dystrophy type of situations. It's a very scary thing, prions.
Rue, I'm of course glad you brought that in. What do you think about this new spate of shootings, Buffalo, Texas, more bullshit? Tell us your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I even called because I'm getting so much conflicting information, and Alex Jones just went all in on it. Oh my gosh, they did I'm hearing all the solutions and the problem and the information constantly changing. I really am just relying on research. A lot of you folks are doing to actually try and figure it out. What is the current consensus? I missed the whole first hour or whatever. So what's the current consensus? Is this totally contrived? Because that last thing you said about
how this guy got all his money.
He's got a brand new truck. He's got $4,000 just in the platforms alone, not to mention all the accessories, the mags, the bullets, the body armor, this, that, and the other. And then, you know, it's funny part of the story. You guys don't figure it out, but, you know, he allegedly I'm going to shoot my grandma. I shot my grandma. Now I'm going to go do an elementary school. So he had the peace of mind to make these text messages, but for some reason, he just randomly drove his truck into a ditch. You know, yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, I'm sure this is probably what I drove my truck. Nothing's going on in the whole world, but I just ran. So he allegedly, the story was he was being chased, but no longer is he being chased. He just randomly drove into a ditch. And then he got out of his truck, and then people saw him. It's just,
The Ford 150 in the ditch. Paul, you're wanting to squeeze a word in edgewise.
Well, I would just say, didn't Adam Lanza kill his mom before he killed all those kids in Sandy Hook?
Yeah, sure. They're replicating Sandy Hook. And I've already had reports this school had been abandoned 3 years ago. I've already got that. So we're going to have more like what happened in Sandy Hook. Shoots his mom, then goes to the elementary, shoots a bunch of first graders here, shoots his grandma, goes to elementary, shoots it. They got to vary the cadence. So this time it's second, third, and fourth graders. I guarantee you this is all bullshit.
Well, it's typical of the Jews, where they love to shock the conscience, right? I mean, what could be more abhorrent to a normal person to shoot your own mom or shoot your own grandmother and then shoot little children at an elementary school? See, the Jews are just sick, sick bastards, and they just need to be eliminated from the society permanently. That's just my opinion.
Thank you, Paul. Brew. Go ahead, Brew.
Well, I was talking to Paul yesterday, and I said, like, this is like a Sandy Hook baseline, but they upgraded it with all this new dialogue and actions. Like, parents were outside the school trying to break in and all this other stuff. That wasn't in Sandy Hook. You know, all this other dialogue and commotion happening at the time wasn't Sandy Hook, but the baseline. And so they took the Sandy Hook storyline and then upgraded it for the current text.
The Buffalo is modeled on the New Zealand Christchurch. You got the guy driving around. He's got a weapon with all kinds of paint on it. You don't see the shell casings ejected. You see bodies on the ground before he's even shot at him. You got him point blank at a head, but he just gets a puff of air. Totally fake. Anyone who wants a bottom line on Buffalo, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. You'll see a piece at Brian Davidson, who's a PI, who's just done a brilliant frame-by-frame on the Buffalo, just blows it apart. While we were on with Giuseppe and Scorpio, just sensational stuff. Turns out that based on shadow analysis, you can tell the time at which the video was taken. It was taken at 1:18, but the police only show up at 3:32. In other words, what we got is a rehearsal video. It's just that bad, that amateurish. It's a clown show, just unbelievably bad. Brian, did you want to squeeze in another word here? We're getting to the end. Brian?
Well, it would have gone back to what I was talking about, and now you're into a different subject. I just wanted to clarify. He mentioned Aleister Crowley and thought he was somehow involved with the Thule Society, and I doubt that. That would have been the Vrattle Society after the Thule Society, because the Thule Society was of the divine, and then the dark do what they do. They take over from inside and then ruin it. So I doubt that he had any. And as far as me being a messenger, I don't claim to be a messenger. He mentioned Joseph Smith, and I'll tell him that one of the downloads I got was Joseph Smith was one of the lifetimes of Christ after Christ. Okay.
Okay.
So, and he was the Prophet Muhammad. He was George Washington. These are just some of the things I downloaded.
Brian, thank you so much. Brew, it's so great to have you here. A few more thoughts from you, my friend.
No, I don't really have too many thoughts about all this. I just really want to know what part of this, if it's real, is on the faces it's a hoax, but in the background...
It's a hoax.
They killed people, or maybe kidnapped people.
Bro, it's a hoax.
Nobody
died. I don't
know what's going on here.
It's totally fake, believe me. It's just a promo for the Ford F-150. They put it in a ditch, so everyone, free advertising, product placement. Paul, hold on.
Alex Jones even got Ted Nugent on it. Ted Nugent's like, oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. So I'm really ticked off about, you know, these people that are like, we want our country back. But they go along with the whole narrative, and I'm really sick and tired of it, aren't you?
Alex Jones has blown it. He has no more credibility. He was on both sides of Sandy Hook. I wanted to come to his assistance because I've got all this evidence, objective proof that it was a fraud. He had no interest. He even did an interview saying he never even read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. How can he go on the air and take a stand without reading the only objective scientific study of what happened? I'm telling you, I got inside info. Participants are reading the book. They like the book because I got it right. I'm telling you, this is unbelievable. Meanwhile, Jack, I want to come back to you, my friend. It's wonderful to have you here. Tell us final thoughts.
Can't hear him.
But anyway, regardless, this has been a fantastic conversation as usual. It's nice to hear from Paul. I get your emails, Paul. Thank you. I appreciate the comments that everyone has had. I mean, we live in a world that is now completely a science fiction, fantasy, dystopian novel, and I suppose we should just try to enjoy that. I mean, there's nothing here that we can do about it, apparently. We can have fun attacking it or fun trying to expose it, et cetera. But there's fortunes to be made in it, too. There's a short while we can all live. Who knows what's going to be on the other side. So I just get up and I look forward to another day in crazy land, Jim.
Jack, it's going on. It's unbelievable. I look forward to having you back. You're doing a wonderful job. I so admire how you're able to do so much. I mean, it's overwhelming. I think I'm a busy guy. Well, I think you exceed me by several orders of magnitude. So everyone, check it out. Go to the Supreme Court of the United States. Download Fetzer v. Posner. This is a fascinating case. And if you're so inclined, if you want to help me cover my legal expenses, check out givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer. Don't add a slash at the end or you won't get there. givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer. But check out, I mean, to go to the Supreme Court over an issue of this enormous significance, it's a really exceptional situation, and you'll be a participant in witnessing what I hope will be history being made. I've been told by a retired professor of law that the major source of corruption in the American legal system is the abuse of summary judgment. Here's an opportunity for the Supreme Court to clean it up. Thanks for being with us. Spend as much time as you can with friends and loved ones. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...